Folks, the world that we live in is in need of hope. The world is in need of hope. And where on earth are they going to find it? In 2024, I don't know if you've heard this statistic, but in 2024, in this year, about 50% of the world's population live in nations holding elections. This has been called the year of elections. 50% of, like 50%, the governments of 50% of the people around the world are changing this year, for good or for bad, better or worse, who knows, right? As people look at the huge social shifts happening in the world, economies being turned upside down, debates happening over climate change and immigration and all the things that are being talked about, wars taking place in numbers of places around the world that threaten to explode into global conflicts, right? The world can be a scary place right now. And people are desperately looking for something certain to hold on to. Governments are toppling in these elections, and countries, governments are shifting, you know, to the far right or the far left, and just all this cultural, governmental change happening in our world because voters are looking for change, people are looking to find some ray of hope in their situation. My opinion is that no matter who sits in the seats of power in these nations, it will not ultimately bring hope. The systems of this world are just that, the systems of this world. They will be flawed and tainted by political manipulation and selfish agendas. In fact, there will be one day, warning, there will be one day someone who steps forward to say all the right things, push all the right buttons, who promises peace and hope, and the world will fall at his feet. But it will be the Antichrist, and he will be the worst thing that happens to the world, not the best. Beware of seeking hope in political leaders. I want to encourage you, it doesn't mean we don't vote when we have the opportunity. Be part of the change, of course. But just don't look for hope to be found in an election. Found it really interesting this past week. After the U.S. presidential debate, that it was this big news that pop singer Taylor Swift declared her support for Kamala Harris. Taylor Swift has 280 million Instagram followers, right? And so, she doesn't know anything about economics or foreign affairs or anything relevant to the subject, and yet a pop singer having influence is because people are just desperate for somebody tell me what to do. Somebody tell me that there's hope out there somewhere, right? Passage we read today. We're going to cover a bunch of scripture today, which is a good thing. Reading from some different bits from Ephesians 2, where we started the service at this morning. says this, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world. Isn't that interesting? You were dead when you used to live, but we were the living dead before we come to Christ, right? I mean, we were biologically alive, but spiritually dead, right? When you used to live, in which you used to live, when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, Satan, and the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time. We got no room to point fingers at anyone. We're all just saved by grace, aren't we? Right? All lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh, following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Then a few verses down, it says, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, not meaning the nation state over the seas right now, but spiritual Israel, right? God's people. From citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants, foreigners, we were foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. That's where we find ourselves before we come to Christ. Without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. What Jesus has done for us has brought us into God's covenants of love, has brought us into hope. Right? God had a plan, and it still works. He gave the church to the world. You have been gifted, we have been gifted to the world. God gave the church to the world as the prophetic voice of hope in this world. Not only are we a voice of hope, but when the church is doing its job, and there are times when we're not, but when the church is doing its job, when we are being what we are supposed to be and living out our mandate well, we are the hope of the world. Not just a voice of hope, we are the hope of the world. Today we're starting a three-part series, and we're going to talk about this, that we, the church, are the hope of the world. In fact, we are the only hope of the world because Jesus entrusted his message of hope to the church. And if we don't get it right, if we don't bring that message to the world, there is no plan B. So we need to give our collective head a shake, right? Get our act together. Wake up to our assignment and our mandate and be the hope that we are meant to be. The world needs it, and Jesus deserves to be represented well in this world. So the three messages that we're going to do in the next 3 weeks, today is incarnational. Next week, the church is incarnational, next week relational, and week three is missional. So we're going to be talking about those things over the next 3 weeks. Today we're talking about the church is incarnational. That's a big million-dollar word, isn't it? Theological word. What on earth is that, Pastor? Thank you. John 1, verse 14 says, the word is, in Greek there, it's the logos, right? I'm going to resist the temptation to go too deep into a whole Greek thing. But the logos, when John wrote this, the logos in the Greek mind was not even in the Christian world, but in the Greek philosophers for hundreds of years, the logos was the wisdom and intelligence through which God created the world. Isn't that interesting? So John snags that word out of Greek philosophy, and he says the logos, this mind and wisdom that created the universe, became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh. That is the incarnation. Son of God becoming flesh for the sake of the world. Why did he do that, right? Why did he step out of glory and come into this world? Well, John, I know we're used to John 3:16, but we should tack on 17 because it's really important. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. What is the purpose of the incarnation? Why was Jesus sent into the world, into our darkness, into our mess? Why did God do that? To save the world through him. Right? The purpose of the incarnation. It's interesting that we find in the Gospel of John, Jesus says a number of times in the Gospel of John, he says, I am the light of the world. Right? I came into the world as light. I am the light of the world. So there are numbers of times in the Gospel of John. And all of us would theologically, wow, yes, Jesus came into the world. He brought light into our darkness. It's awesome. It's powerful. It's an incredible truth. It's also true that Jesus turned to his disciples, as we find in Matthew chapter 5, and he said to them, you are the light of the world. Isn't that interesting? You are the light of the world. Because we are meant to pick up Jesus' incarnational assignment on the earth. And that just as Jesus was sent, Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. We were meant to pick up and carry Jesus' incarnational mandate and calling to be the hope and the light of God in a dark world that needs hope and light. The community of Christ, the church, is meant to be the embodiment of Jesus' mission on the earth. And if Jesus is the only hope of the world, which I think most of us in this room would say Jesus is the only hope in this world, in this mess, in all that's going on, Jesus is the answer. He's the only hope of the world. And if Jesus is the only hope of the world and we are the body of Christ, then by extension, we are the only hope of the world. First Corinthians 12:27 says, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it." Right? And it's not just a nice metaphor. It's not just a nice word picture for us, but I believe the way that Paul writes about this in 1 Corinthians 12, I believe with all my heart that this is not just a nice word picture, but that God intended that the church would, in a very literal and yet mysterious way, be the hands and feet of Jesus in the world right now. We are his body in this world. And each of us is a part of it. So in verses 4 to 7 of the same passage, so there are different kinds of gifts, speaking of spiritual gifts, spiritual abilities, ways that God works through each of us individually. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. This is a really, really important statement. How many of you have seen the Holy Spirit? Trick question, Pastor. What are you doing? The manifestation, what does that word mean? Something you can't see becoming visible. Right? Manifestation is something you can't see becoming visible. When the church is functioning in the gifts and the callings of the Spirit, and the Spirit of God is flowing through our lives, we literally make the Spirit of God visible in the world. Manifestation of the Spirit of God through our lives. As we serve, because we are incarnational. Unless we are finding a way to serve with our lives, we are not living like Jesus. And the Christian life is not a spectator sport. Because we are called, as we serve with what God has put in us and given us, as we serve We are making the Spirit of God and the presence of Jesus visible to each other and to the world. Incarnational. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body. Say that again. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. I find it so interesting, Paul's usage of words here, because he could have said, so it is with the church. Right? Just, you know, if he's talking about this word picture, just as a body, though one has many parts, all its parts form one body, so it is with the church. But he doesn't say that. So it is with Christ. Because he's driving home to us how literal it is, how real it is that we are the body of Christ, the incarnation of Christ to this world. I'm going to read a few more verses from 1 Corinthians 12. How am I doing, Richard? You timing me? You forgot to time me? All right. Told him I'd be 32 minutes, but he forgot to time me. So I'm going to read a couple more sections of verses. I'm not going to make a lot of comment on them. Here's where we're going in the next few minutes. I want to read a couple verses, make a couple comments. And I'm gonna walk us through, as quickly as I can, a list of the ministries that our church is involved in, does. You saw the stations when you came in today. This is Launch Sunday. We're excited about a new season of ministry this fall and the things that God is going to lead us. You know, we want to be a church who is doing all the things that God has called us to do and not getting distracted by the things we think are good and God didn't give us to do, right? So even as we work through this list of things that we're doing, I want you to know we're always listening, saying, Lord, if there's anything that needs to go because it's good but not your best, then show us, right? Lead us. Let it go. If there's anything we're not doing yet that you're calling us to do and is your calling and purpose for this church, then give us clarity on that. Lead us, right? I'm going to read a few verses. Everyone needs you. And then the second statement I'm going to make in a moment is, you need everyone else, right? But everyone needs you. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. In other words, if you're like, well, I don't know if I fit. I don't know if I've got anything to give. Right? That person over there, you know, they seem to talk really well on the platform. And that person over there, they seem to, you know how to talk to people in the lobby. And you know, I don't know that I've got anything to give because I'm not a foot, I'm not a hand, I'm not a whatever, right? You know, the enemy would love for you to feel like you have nothing to give, you are not needed, and just shut down and sit in a seat and be quiet, sneak in late, leave early on Sunday, not get to know anybody, not get engaged and involved in what God has in store for you. Because he doesn't want those gifts in your life to be unpacked and opened and used for the sake of his kingdom. He doesn't want you to be incarnational. Because he knows that you're the only hope, that we're the only hope that this world has. And if he can shut us down, then he would love that. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. You are needed. Everyone here needs you. The people in our city need you to be engaged with what God has put in your life and what he's doing through your life. Everyone needs you. Secondly, you need everyone. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. I got this. I can do it all. Right? Sometimes when we've been in the church for a while and we've learned how to do some things and other people do things and they don't do it right, don't do it the way we would do it, we're like, never mind, I got it, right? And we shut people out from the opportunity to engage and be involved. And even if they make some mistakes, it's okay. Because we need everyone. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem weaker and indispensable are indispensable. The parts we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. The parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. So really quickly, by the way, we've got cookies. Yay. So once we get through this list, I want to encourage you. We're just going to put on some music. We're going to welcome you. We got coffee. We got cookies. We want you to take some time. Visit with each other, but also get to the stations and see what it is that some of the things that we do. So here are some of our teams that are involved in ministry in our church. Our first impressions, this is kind of an umbrella of teams. We've got our host team that greets you when you walk in the door and they help with taking up the offering and different things like that. Our coffee team, our next steps team, we have a ministry that welcomes people, newer people into the church. Our decor team that helps with doing decorations different times of the year. Social media, we've got people who work on that. So just that, helping with first impressions. What do people notice when they walk in? We want to be attractive to people who walk in the building. People who connect with us online, we want them to say, hey, that's a group of people I'd like to connect with, right? Administration. Some of you are administratively gifted. God bless you. We need you. I need you. I am not. I don't understand you, but I need you, right? So our financial accounting team, helping with some of the office admin, there's tasks and projects that people help with. our library slash bookstore. There's some interesting things coming this fall for that. Keep your ears open. We've got a team that are working on that. Plan to protect. We need somebody who's very detail-oriented to help us organize with plan to protect. It's our policy for protecting vulnerable people, kids, and so on. So if you're really good with like details and administration, we need your help there. Congregational care. We've got a care team doing visits and meals and stuff for people. When they're in the hospital or coming out of the hospital. Breakthrough team is a team that pray for people at the end of the service. If you've got spiritual gifts to be, you know, praying with people and believing them for miracles, we need you to be part of that team. Intercessory prayer, we have Thursdays at 1 o'clock. We have a prayer group that meets here. And other ways that if you want to be part of a emergency prayer chain, we've got lots of ways that we pray. So if prayer is your thing, you may want to consider that. Community, ways that we connect with each other. So connect groups. There's a whole table out there with some of the connect groups that we have going this fall. Connect groups are groups that meet in people's homes to learn and grow together. They do Bible studies and so on and just pray for each other. And so we actually need some connect group leaders. If you've got some, you know, just some spiritual experience and you've been around for a while and you've got a heart to encourage others and help others, maybe that's something. Maybe you can help us by starting or hosting a connect group in your home. Alpha, we'd love to do Alpha's, you know, an introduction to the Christian faith. It's an amazing ministry. We'd love to do Alpha every year. We don't always have the people to do it, but if you're interested in that, talk to me. Men's groups, women's groups, men's, women's events. We got some of that stuff coming up this year. Watch for it. Discipleship and so on. Elevate Youth. This is our ministry to teens, grades 6 to 12. Last week, we introduced you to Jaslyn Armstrong, our intern, who's joining us for the next 8 months. She's super excited. She's got a lot of gifts for a young lady of her age and a lot of passion and wants to see us help us reach youth in our city. But she can't do it by herself. We need a couple of people to join with her and be part of a team that are willing to invest in the next generation and help see that happen. Kids ministry. If you love kids and want to be involved in kids ministry, Little Jam is our nursery ages 0 to 4. Our Kids Jam happens Sunday mornings, ages 5 to 11. So we've got some people down there, but we need some more people on those teams. If you love doing kids ministry, we need you. Kids Jam Adventures is a monthly community outreach that we do for kids. And it's we started it last year about this time, and it's growing, and it's exciting to see. We had our first one last week, and I think there were two kids from our church and about 15 kids from the community that totally not from our church, right? So super exciting, yeah. Facility, if you like to just get your hands dirty and get involved in things, we need you, right? There's room for everybody. Outreach, there's numbers of ways that we want to reach out into our community. By the way, this summer, our skate park outreach, where we run the canteen there and open the washrooms for the youth that are using the skate park, we had a great team come together this year. I think we had about 8 or 9 people on the team that took shifts throughout the week, Monday to Friday, every week of the summer. We were out there serving the youth of our city by running the skate park. What an amazing thing to do, and a big thanks to the team that faithfully served in that. Our Terry Fox thing and other ways that we want to outreach. Kitchen. This has been tough in the last 3 or 4 years. I know there's some of you that love to cook. I know there is. And we need some dedicated people to sign on and be responsible for our kitchen and help make that hum. Awesome. Great. Yeah, we need some people with food service training and all that, and just dive in and make that work. So good. Worship. So we've got lots of things that go on Sunday mornings to help us do what we do here in this room. Our tech team doing sound and live stream and computer, musicians, singers, worship leaders, and so on. If music is your thing or tech stuff is your thing, talk to us. So there's a whole bunch of stuff. Lots of things that we do on a regular basis. Lots of things we want to do and don't maybe always have the capacity or the workers to do. The big question is, where do you and I fit? Where do we fit? Right? If we're not engaged in ministry, we're not being the incarnational body of Christ, right? There's a call on our lives to be engaged and involved. I know that some of you would say, well, I'm at an age where I've done so much over the years. I've done my time. I don't know if I have anything more to give. But we need you. And some of you, that's legitimate. Your health and your energy, you just don't have it to serve. And you might say, well, all I can do is pray. That's not an all I can do thing. That is powerful. It's amazing. We need people who are the prayer support of all the things that we do. But for some of you, you can probably able to do more than you think. So I just want us to ask honestly, God, do you have somewhere where I fit this season, this year, that you want me engaged and involved in some way? And maybe it's in the church, in a ministry, maybe it's out in the community. Right? We've got one of our congregation members 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago, I don't know, recently, became the president of the Pickleball Association. We might say, well, that's not spiritual. My goodness, to be light in an organization like that and to bring the influence of the kingdom of God into a place where people need hope. What is God calling us to do? Let's stand. So I want to pray with you, and I want to release you not to run out the door, but to go get a cookie, get a coffee, or just hang out, but get to some of the stations. First of all, consider, if you want to be involved in a connect group, write your name on one of those forms and say, I want to be involved in a connect group. We've got little pieces of paper at every station. What we'd love for you to do is put your name If you see something on the station, God's tweaking something in your heart towards being involved in some way, write your name, write the ministry that you're considering. You're not making a lifelong commitment, you're just considering. And we'll have a conversation. Write your name on it, write the ministry, and drop it. There's a basket right beside the door as you go out this morning. Drop it in the basket, and I'd love to have my next 3 weeks full of conversations that I have to have because people are saying, I want to get connected and involved. All right? So let's pray. God, we thank you for your love for us, your work in our lives. We thank you that you have invested in us. You have called us. You have entrusted the message of your hope to us. There is a responsibility that Evangel and the other churches in this city carry for the sake of this region, that people would know that there is hope. So God, may you move in and through our lives in rich ways, we ask. And I pray that today as we take some time to visit, some time to visit the stations, to consider, God, what you might have us do this fall. How we might be an extension, an eye, a hand, a foot of the body of Christ, involved and engaged in what you are doing. We ask it in Jesus' powerful name. And everywhere say, amen. 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 God bless.